I just finished top of number three, and so Matthew 22:36-40. That's getting toward the last part of Matthew. Matthew, what is the great master? What is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord my God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. He says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. He said, they're alike. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we try and obey his commandments, God knows that even after we're saved, we've got a carnal nature. He's well aware of it. And more so aware of it than we are. And understands it better than we do. And he has never had a carnal nature. He took our sins on him on the tree, but he's never been sinful himself. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He knows that all we can do is let him be our God, and let him be our shepherd. And every one of us sitting here know that sooner or later we're going to disobey what he wants. We're going to do it suddenly and abruptly and lose our temper and do it. Well, am I getting better at doing it myself? No. But am I getting better by just submitting to him and not letting the sun go down on my wrath and forgiving it just as quick as I can? And sometimes before I ever do it, I don't do it. And used to. Because people get mad and irritated about things. And you're carnal, and I'm carnal. And a lot of things we think are carnal that we don't even realize are carnal. And I think God forgives us of stuff because we have to learn as we go along how bad off we are. But one thing we learn is why is he doing this? Because people can see the change in us. I've watched you change, all of you. And you've watched me change. And with me, you say, well, it sure was slow. Well, I know that, but in any ways, there's been a change. And it's God that does the change, and that's because he is the overcomer. And you can't overcome on your own. You can't just say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to grit your teeth, I'm going to do it. You've got to want to do it. And you've got to realize, you got to run to him just as soon as you get tempted. And you got to realize, if you go ahead and yield to it, you got to run back to him as quick as you can and ask for forgiveness. Because I used to be afraid when I was a young Christian, Lord, I've done this so many times, he won't forgive me. And, you know, Lord have mercy, even your mother forgives you for something like that, you know. And we get guilty because we're males. Well, we are males. And we look. And then we're sorry because we have respect for women. We don't do anything except think, maybe. And that's all we do. Well, you say, that's a lot. God said it was a lot. And even that convicts us. Well, here I am now my age, and it's a lot easier for me. I just run to him first time I get, I look, and I say, mm-hmm. And then go on. He says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Peter was drifting back. Now, this is an apostle, equipped to be an apostle, called of God to be an apostle. And the leader of the church. For before that certain came to him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Certain came from James, he did eat from the disciples, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Well, see, you drift back to your old buddies. Now, when I'm around my old buddies, I don't cuss, I don't swear, I don't drink. But I don't, I don't lecture them as much as I should. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. See, you get carried away with it. And so, what am I responsible for? Every member of this church, and also those that come and attend here. If I do something and people have an admiration for me, even though that's wrong, I think, they ought to just have it for God and the office itself, then look what I've done. I've caused them to stumble. So, you know, I'd like to have a nice big glass of Chateau Mauvaisiliac wine. Never touched a drop of it since I left North Africa. And it's very good tasting. I love wine, but I don't do it. I got drunk once, and God sent an avenging angel named Imogene, and I wasn't really drunk. I just feeling pretty good, and she could tell it. And she let me have it when I came up those stairs. I was going to try to ride and hide under the bed, but I figured she'd have lifted the bed. Brother, I never took another drop. And so God used an avenging angel to show me the error of my way. He said, and other Jews dissimulated with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with the dissimulation. Then I'm talking about here, I'm still in Galatians, and I start off with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You can get bewitched, and so can I. It's very easy. That ye should not obey the truth. You can get a smooth-talking preacher, and he can pretty well get you to believe what he's saying. And there have been many people in this church in my over 40 years here that has happened to, and I've watched it. They go somewhere else. They just are real nice to them. They're real patronizing to them. They're kind to them. They tell them just what they want to hear, and they go to other churches. You know who they are. You've watched this happen here in this 40 years. Well, I'm more grateful for them than those that stay and cause trouble and should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You know, you think back, you know, he was crucified for you, among you. And he's in the church here, and you're part of the church. And you ought to watch your conduct, and I should too. I should watch my conduct and everything I say and everything I do. Somebody comes to the house, even though I don't like them, I should be real nice to them. And I should be courteous to them, and I should be gentle with them. And believe it or not, after all these years here, I have learned to do that. I learned to do that here because I was scared they'd run me off if I didn't. But my motivation was wrong. This only what I've learned you. He says, I just want to know this of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, how'd you get the Spirit? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, who saved you? The Spirit. Did you save yourself? No. Did you help Jesus save you? No. Are you now made mature by the flesh? You see, the flesh, who do you think these Pentecostal churches and the others, they're just saying, boy, they just poured on them there. You need to be, you remember that story I told you about poor old Hubert Lee? He kicking that tire. She said, now you've done it. And he went back to the preacher, and the preacher told him, finally he got down to where he had, he said, well, can you keep it for 1 minute? And he said, yeah, I think I can do that. He said, well, do it. Keep it 1 minute at a time. Now, isn't that a silly answer? But that's what he gave to Hubert. Hubert wouldn't lie to me. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He said, are you believing all this in vain? He said, don't you realize you've been set free? Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So, what do I see in Anna May? God is fulfilling the law in her. What do I see in Michael? I see him fulfilling the law in him. I see it in our deacon. I see it in Lisa. I see it in Donna, and I see it in Kenneth. How do I remember all your names? By the grace of God. So, you know, the truth of the matter is that I was raised in a church that everybody was laid back, but they tried to keep the commandments. I'm not teaching you something I didn't know from a child, but we were just laid back. And all you had to do was confess to the church. And so people in the church were long-nosed, and they call them sticky beaks in New Zealand. And they stuck their beaks in everybody else's business trying to find what they were doing wrong. They looked in the window and saw my grandmother and granddaddy playing old maids. They turned them into the church. Well, Papa May taught me this. If somebody comes up and accuses me of something, I don't think I'm really guilty and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I apologize to the church. You say, are you honest? I said, well, you asked me. And I said, if you ask me, I must be dishonest. But I've never had to. I've always apologized to this church before the church ever brought it before the church. And so he taught me all that. He taught me a lot of what I know. And I just forgive him and go on. And I believe that's the correct way. Some of the things he taught me, I changed my mind about. But that wasn't one of them. He says, if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Romans 5, 6, and 8. And when we were yet without strength, oh, well, we had a little, didn't we? No, we didn't have any. No, we didn't have any spiritual strength. We had absolutely none. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was ungodly. I didn't know I was ungodly until about 4 years of discovering that I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And that has happened historically. And I have known people that had a motive that loved somebody so much they died for them. And because if it meant the loss of their life. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for good people because there ain't nobody good. Pardon the use of ain't. There ain't nobody good. There ain't nobody righteous. There ain't nobody that can overcome by keeping the law. Jesus has already done all that. And all we have to do is to, when we sin, confess our sins, knowing that Jesus will forgive us, and then get back on track until the next time we sin. You say, well, I can do that. Yes, you can. But the only reason you can is because he lives in you. And if he didn't make you do it, you wouldn't do it. So I owe him everything. And I rather like the idea. Because if he's already done it all, I'm free. I'm really free. And there's a great sense of freedom. Now, I understand why he said for my burden is light, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've reached that conclusion in the last couple of years. I don't have a heavy burden anymore. I've had to go through two or three episodes of different things that happened in the church that gave me great grief, but I learned a lot from them. And I learned that God gets you through them. And if I learn you're telling the truth and you're right, go ahead and do it. And try to do it with as least damage to the church as you possibly can. I tried to do that. And I don't feel guilty at all about anything that happened because I tried to do that. And so there's a great deal of joy in pastoring. If you finally learn, God said do it this way, do it that way, and don't worry about the rest of it. And that makes the burden light, yoke easy. It's easy. He says, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy. Now he put holy in here twice because he wanted to make you know for sure the holiness of it. He said, for the law is holy, and the commandment holy. Why did he say in just and good? Because he is the propitiation for our sins. That makes him just and the justifier of them and the justifier of him he justifies by grace through faith because he was good and he gave us his righteousness and he gave us his holiness. And he became the overcomer for us. And he will reward us to how much we let him change us in the time he gave us on this earth. And that's the way that interprets. But I didn't know that at first. You got to pastor a church for a while and start learning to preach what God wants before you ever start understanding this stuff. And if they don't run you off, well, just keep on preaching it. And if they do run you off, go to another church and start over just like you did at the first one and be a little sneaky about it. Sneaky? Well, you know, their Bible does indicate you're supposed to be a little sneaky, and I can prove that. Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And so once you learn to do that, well, people will like you more, and they might even start listening to you. He says, Matthew 19, 16, 17, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? See, this rich man didn't understand what good was. He thought good was just doing what God said and then feeling good about it because you were able to do it. Doesn't realize you can't do anything good until God gives you the new birth. It's impossible. He says, there is none good but one. That is God. Now think about that. I've proven to you from the Bible without question that only Jesus was good, and he was God. Yeah.
Is that the same event as in Luke that we studied about a while ago?
Yeah.
It's the same as the lawyer?
Let's see. No, this is the... Yeah, I think so. Let me see. What does it read exactly the same?
Luke 10:25.
Yeah.
Certain lawyers stood up.
Yeah. Keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Yeah, that's the lawyer. I used it there, but I could have used the good man, but I was running out of space on this page. I could have used the guy that came to the... I need to switch that around, that came to him, but it's the same principle. You are listening, aren't you? I've got to make this more complicated. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do, Paul, a saved man or woman cannot keep the commandment of the law to love like God. You cannot do it. Why not? Because God has always loved continuously, since God is love. Jesus is the only man who ever loved that kept the law on which hung all the law and the prophets. But it is possible for a disciple to do Matthew 10:37-38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I learned to love him more than I loved my father and my mother. How did he do it? After I found out how much he loved me, I had to. And furthermore, my mother wanted me to. And so that made it extra easy. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love Jesus more than I love my children. And Imogene loved him more than she loved her children. We both loved our children. How much? We tried to raise them, and we tried to raise them like God said. But we love God more because he's the one that had to teach us how to raise them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I've had to learn that. It's been a hard lesson, but I learned that. And if you had a daughter that took care of you in your last days here, you keep on learning it. And my Terry is like she is, takes care of me, because God leads her to do it. It's not an easy job. And they do things for God. They don't do it for me. I hope they're learning to do that. I believe they are. And I'm sorry, Mike, but I love God more than I love you, and I love all my children less than I love God. I've learned to do that, and it's that way. So because he taught Imogene and I what good parents were, and we tried to do that, especially Imogene. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. God's going to have to decide if I'm worthy of him. God's going to have to decide if I actually loved him more than son or daughter. And God's going to have to learn whether I loved him more than father or mother. And God may get me before the judgment seat and said, you shouldn't have said that. Well, I haven't said I was going to follow him to death. I haven't said that yet. And all the disciples did, and they needed to be converted. Well, God's been converting me now for some... Lord, ever since I was 23 years old, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You know what I want to hear when I get to the judgment seat of Christ? You followed after me And whatever happened to you in pastoring churches or anything else, he said, if you stayed and if you kept on teaching, if you kept on following after me and doing what I said, you're worthy of me. And I'm only worthy because he is the overcomer. And all I did was just respond. You say, well, do you think highly of yourself? Heavens, no. How can a man think highly of himself when he's a worm? And God took a worm and made a child of God out of him. And so, no, I don't overestimate my love. Do I love him enough? No. But do I love him more than he said these people here? Yeah, I do. And you say, well, he may test you again. I hope not, but if God thinks I'm ready for it, I'm okay, fine. Mark 14, 26 through 43. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's in the last part of the 13th chapter of Zechariah. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter saith unto him, although all be offended, yet will not I. I'm not going to tell you that I won't be offended. I'm not going to say what Peter said, no matter what. Because God left me the example here, and I ought to be able to follow it. And Jesus saith unto him, watch me do it tomorrow. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock shall crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all. You haven't heard me say that, have you? And I hope you never hear me say it. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, set ye here while I should pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He had a human body, and it was sinless, but it was his flesh. And, you know, the devil was really putting the heat on him here. He says, tarry ye here and watch. That's all he had to do was watch and not go to sleep. You can't watch and go to sleep. And he went forward. That's why he keeps telling us to watch. We go to sleep and the devil just overruns us. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He asked to be dismissed from it. And he said that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, I love that word, nevertheless. Not what I will. That was the man. That was the man. He was God. He was flesh and blood, but he was God. You could touch him. You could feel him. You could experience him. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. He said, okay, Lord. Okay. It's like he's talking to himself. He said, whatever, not what I will, but what thou wilt. There were two wills in that man. The will of a perfect sinless man and the will of a perfect almighty God, and they were one and the same. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and said, Peter, you know, that's going to happen to a lot of church members. You know, he told us all to watch. He's told us that over and over again in the Bible, giving specific instructions for the church. And they don't watch, they go to sleep. And they pretty soon quit coming to church, and you wonder why? They go to sleep. Simon, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? How about a little season? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You can be tempted. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You don't know how it feels to get up here and preach a message once you start to drift off. I used to wear sunglasses so they couldn't see me do it. For their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. They didn't know what to say. And a lot of people are not going to have a word to say at the judgment seat. And he cometh again the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Believer, wake up. Let Jesus make you ready for the city. A lot of people are ready for heaven. They're not ready for the judgment seat of Christ. And after that, they're not ready. They're not ready for the city. And it's not going to be anybody's fault but theirs. People that aren't saved, it's not going to be anybody's fault but theirs. It won't be because I didn't wear a good cologne when I went out to their house, or why I didn't smell good, or why I lived under a bridge. It's going to make, the only difference it's going to make. The church I was in was a laid-back church. We didn't run up and down country roads, and my granddaddy rode up.